And welcome to This Green Earth. I'm Claire Wiley, and joining me this morning are filmmakers Biljana Tutorov and Petar Glomazik. And they are bringing a film to Sundance 2026 as directors. And as I understand it, it's the world premiere of To Hold a Mountain, and it's happening right here at Sundance 2026. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
Well, I appreciate you making the time for us here. I am always very curious about how people get started into filmmaking, what it is that leads you on this path, and as storytellers, is there something that happened in your childhood that stuck with you, or did this come later in life? Share with me both your stories, how you got involved in the filmmaking world.
Well, I'm coming from art and theater, so I came to film quite late. And actually, it's very obvious for me because I really see the stories in images, and there is so much more than you can say. You can show many dimensions of life and people, and small details and like different shadows of emotions. And our film is very much about that. So yeah, I came to the place that I wanted to be.
And what about you, Petar?
I am coming actually from something totally different, from different world. My education is education of aeronautical engineer, and I spent my career working for airlines, for airline business. But from early age, I was really deeply connected to film and art at all, and always interested in it. And 15, 16 years ago, I met Biljana, and then I got the infrastructure to be back to these wishes from my youth. And this is my first film, thanks to her, thanks to all the infrastructure she gave me, so I can start to tell my stories through the images.
But Petar is also a great storyteller, and it's very much in Montenegrin tradition that goes back to ancient Greek times, almost, in continuity. And like, in particular, Montenegrins who live a lot in mountains are really very much about storytelling. So that's also one of our starting points. Not only Petar brought the access to his people, but also made the connection to this epic tradition and lyric tradition of storytelling and singing and transforming life adventures and memorable events into stories.
What a beautiful way to put that. I love that you said that you're a very visual person. I think in filmmaking, it really lends itself to portray things in such a beautiful way because you are marrying that storyline with that visual in a way that we feel more. So in To Hold a Mountain, you describe Montenegro a little bit there. And I want to hear more about this as a character in the story. Explain to me where this takes place.
Yeah, the place, the Montenegro, is a very small, tiny country in Mediterranean area. It is smallest former republic of former Yugoslavia. And the mountains in Montenegro are a shelter through our history. It is something we are deeply connected with because that was the reason we survived through the history. This story is settled there, presenting the local communities who are living in a very traditional way. This is a long tradition of common land used together between people, something you cannot possess, something you cannot privatize and have, but you can use it with the others. And this story is there, settled with these very ancient local communities.
We actually first discovered the place. And even before we got to know people, Like the place is so specific. It's the biggest European pasture land at 2,000 meters of altitude. It's really like landscapes from Western films a little bit. And we decided that this mountain is going to be a character of our film. And of course we met the community, and then when the story of this military training ground happened, because the land of our people was at some point in 2019 decided to be a place to test arms and like exercise army. And it's UNESCO protected land. It's very precious ecosystem, and historically, as Peter described, very charged territory of life. So it didn't make any sense to test arms there. And like we met community also through this common effort to try to stop this plan and protect the mountain. And there one day we met Gara Nada, this mother and daughter, and Gara jumped on her white horse and she became a leader of these community efforts, which was very special because it's very patriarchal society over there. So to have a woman leader of a kind was already very special in itself. And then as we get to know them, and I'm not going to spoil the story because the story goes into a very intimate family realm that somehow echoes with what's happening to the land. And it really examines and contemplates the roots of violence that goes into violence against nature and like the whole military effort, but also violence against women. So yeah, it's a story of a mountain, and it's a story of this small community of women that are herding and foraging for medical plants. And we are very much focused on Gara's and other relationship. It's also coming of age story because we meet them at the moment when Nada is young teenager, and she's understanding the story of her family and participating in this battle. And the story ends when we really feel that Nada is empowered enough to go in this world. We accompany them in this battle, but also in understanding the destiny of women in their family. But it's a film full of light. It's very optimistic. It tackles some difficult subjects, but it's very lyrical. It's nearly some kind of Western opera in a way, and we really wanted it to be empowering and entertaining. And they're really, really great characters. They are with us in Park City, so they will be present in the premiere and in some other screenings.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you talk about these parallels of environment and landscape with the parallels of our lives as human beings and the struggles that we face. So, when you go into this community and you meet these women, how did you gather trust and build this relationship with them to let you get so intimate with them in their lives and tell this story?
Well, we met them at this very moment when they were kind of exposed to this threat. And we joined the movement of local communities to organize into an NGO called Save Sinjavina, and to see all different legal possibilities, but also to connect them to different indigenous and local communities, organizations around the world. So we were together in these efforts to save the mountain. And then with Gara and Nada, it was a like real friendship. And we were very much interested in their story. But now, with the hindsight, we feel that they also needed us to share their story, because the taboo of violence against women, it's still very present. And in families, they don't like to talk about it because it's also a little bit of shame. And like in public space, there is not enough work done in this field. And they really felt that, well, if we make a film and we work on community and their narrative, they would be able to find the ways to express it. So we kind of had a shared interests. And also, since Nada was that young, and we quickly realized that we would need a lot of time and that we would probably film until she's 18. And we could allow actually to follow the pace of the trust. We also had a lot of support in US through this very selective and amazing funds that also brought the knowledge and like ethical considerations, and we had a lot of interesting interlocutors that supported us in this patience, and we didn't want to force anything, we didn't want to ask anything. It's our film is nearly plays like a fiction. It's a drama. There are no interviews, but the story just unfolds, and from one chapter to another, we follow and dig what's happening and what's happened before.
And during all these years of our friendship and efforts to protect the mountain, their story unfold in front of our eyes in a certain way. And actually, we managed to put it in the film in the same way for the audience to learn this story in the same way we did over the years. So, as Biljana said, we never interviewed them. We didn't dig for that story. We just were there together with them, living as a family in some way. And then the things revealed itself in a very natural and genuine way.
It's very much also a merit of our director of photography, Eva Kraljevic, who was with us from the beginning, because we knew we needed a woman cinematographer for this story. Because of Nada, we didn't want to intimidate her. And like we needed this kind of softer, patient approach and very like psychological approach and so forth. So Eva became also a great friend over the years, but we lived together in this small shepherd's hut, and like we were also helping Gara and Nada and spending a lot of time together doing different things, not necessarily filming a lot. And Eva's quality was also great respect and a good feeling at the right distance, and her role is very important in this process and this kind of transaction of trust, if I can say like that.
Yes, I had a discussion with Jill Tidman, who is with the Redford Center. And one of the things that she said that is so beautiful about films and films that speak to the environment is an intimate relationship that is built with that subject. And you talk about the landscape and the mountain being a character in this film as well. Was there a transformation in either of you for reverence to this mountain, or how you felt about the mountain, or as you moved through this, what feelings kind of arose in you?
I will respond to that because I'm more of a city person. Peter, through his family roots, had more connection with this environment. He can talk about it, but for me, this was a life-changing experience in many ways. One is just to see how little you need to survive. You just need a piece of land and one animal. And like I was started wondering why anybody on earth should ever be hungry, because one cow or a goat, it provides so much. So that was really like a big shock for me. And then, you know, nowadays we have these new ideas of zero waste and this and that, but like our participants, they live like that. They produce basically everything that they need. They buy very little and they throw very little. So it was very transformative in that sense. And then the third thing, which is most interesting maybe and most authentic, is through their personal story also to feel nature as like nearly psychological resource or shelter. And I got to feel that damaging nature, forest, rivers, we're also damaging something very original and deep of ourselves. And I know it's not a new idea, it's present in in certain schools of psychoanalysis, but I really felt it. And through their personal trauma, they address the mountain. They call it mother, and it's not only the survival layer, but it's this really like protection and empowering moment. So that's it for me.
Yeah, I would say I had that privilege in my life to, as a boy, spent a lot of time with my cousins in this area, and to explore this kind of life, you know, to be the shepherd, to bring the water from the spring, life in the hut without electricity, with those people who are really living from their own work with rough hands, that honest people who are in deep connection with the nature. And I always wanted really to set a story in this environment, and to tell the story about that very simple but very nice way of life. And finally, really, it happened. And then later in my life as a mountaineer and climber, I spent a lot of time in nature, but I also recognized that the people who are living in towns, they understand the nature in different way. We are traveling on very long trips to be in the nature, to see it, to make a photo there. But they are living in the nature. And this idea of nature is not close to them. They do not understand what the tourists are looking for there, because they live within the bubble. They are the part of the nature, really. And that is something we should learn and try to be more connected with our environment in the way Gara and Nada are connected.
It's also one of the really rare wild, genuinely wild parts of Europe, what, that are still like it's wilderness with old forests and all that. So it's very precious.
Right. And on this program, we speak a lot to that connection that we have with the natural world and how we really are very much reliant on it, and that it is truly a part of who we are. And the more that we become stewards of it, the more blessed we are by it. And it sounds like, again, we are creating these very close parallels with nature, with both the strength and fragility to the mountain. We also have that as human beings, that strength, but also that fragility. Was there a resolution, or do you just want this story to sit with us and have us all gain a greater understanding of our place in this world?
Well, the story is very simple, and we would like viewers to meet Gara and Nada and to really take in this power that Gara has and like all her life traumas and like many difficult things she transformed into something really beautiful and strong. So that's very simple. We follow them through several seasons, and Nada is growing up, and it's a lot about love. And but then there are many other layers, and as I said, I don't want to spoil. There is a resolution to like several storylines, but I don't want to spoil it.
We'll have to
It's
see it.
yeah, you have to see the film. I can't say that.
What we can add, besides this, what Biljana said related their relations and a lot of love and care and solidarity, is something very important. And based on it, we can move the mountains, and we can hold the mountains. We can do a lot of things if there is a solidarity, and if we are doing together for the mutual interest.
Yeah, and all that is in that title. The title choice was a very difficult task. And finally, we like to hold a mountain, and it grows on us in a nice way because it means so many different things, the mountain in us and the mountain in front of us and much more. So, but
Yeah.
I'm sure audience, I hope, but I'm sure also audience will, because they're so charming and this place is so beautiful and the cinematography is really strong and the story is compelling. So I think we can be safe inviting people.
Oh, I'm sure the audience will absolutely love it. I also want to get to the place that music plays in this film. Can you share with me how music helped to bring about the tone and pace of this?
The music is very important. It plays a different role than it usually plays in the films, because this film could function without music, but we really wanted to explore the form of Greek drama in a way to see how to bring the dramatic content of their life, the life of our protagonists. And we wanted music to be like a choir in Greek drama, like a voice of the mountain, but also our voice, something that allows us to take a bit of a distance and look at different layers that the story brings, to kind of throw us out of reality a little bit.
To Hold a Mountain receives its world premiere here at the 2026 Sundance Film Festival. It is also in competition. It's in the World Cinema Documentary Competition as well. We are so thrilled that you are going to be screening this film in our community first. It means a lot to us here. Obviously, mountains are very near and dear to our heart here in Park City. And I just want to congratulate you too. What does it mean to have a film screen at Sundance?
Really, we are very, very, very proud and happy that we are here. We believe that Sundance is the best possible platform for our film. It is the most prestigious documentary selection in the world, we think. So we are very happy to present our mountains here in Utah Mountains and here on Robert Redford's festival.
It's like having an award, being one of the 10 films in World Cinema Documentary Competition. It's huge for us. We're so happy.
Well, we are so happy for you. And I just hope everyone sees this film and just feels what it is that you have poured out onto that screen over that many years filming and staying with the family. It just sounds so beautiful. We appreciate you. And once again, congratulations for having your film in the 2026 Sundance Film Festival. Robert Redford put a lot of effort into bringing environmental films to life. So congratulations on seeing that vision through for him as well.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to This Green Earth. If you have an idea, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your ideas and topics, your storylines. It's thisgreenearth@kpcw.org. You can also find us wherever you listen to your podcast. If you like the show and you learned something new, make sure you leave a review. And we'd appreciate it if you click 5 stars.